with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys. It's Saturday, and we're smoking up the backyards of mid-Michigan. You're listening to us from Ann Arbor to Traverse City and everywhere in between. It's a great day to get out in your backyard and fire up your grill. Last weekend, we were pushing those 95-degree temps, and we were indicating that you ought to use the smoker so you could set it and forget it. Today, we're going to just bump up against 75 degrees, a great day to get out in your backyard and fire up that grill. Cook for your friends. Create some grill envy. It's going to be a great weekend. I'm Jop. He's Bob. What's cooking, Bob?
It'd be a good day to get out and do some golfing, too.
Yeah, it would.
You know what I like about golf? Golf and sex are the only things you can enjoy without being good at them.
Well, yeah. They're both a little selfish, too. Yeah.
They are.
But anyway.
Can you say sex on the radio, Mr. Producer? Okay.
I think good. You just did.
We got toned out a couple times for saying the biatch word.
I understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we have one of our good pals, Mike Goomba from New Jersey, Big Pauly.
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Jop. What's going on? Let me ask you a question. Can you play golf while you're having sex or the other way around? How's that work?
Sorry, I went down that road.
Yeah, well, I've screwed up many golf games. We'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
It reminds me of a couple of good jokes, which I'll tell you later.
Okay. So Big Pauly there. What about this Coq au Vin? You got a little recipe for some pheasant.
That's the thing, Coq au Vin is a great French dish, and it's delightful with chicken. That's how it's traditionally made. But, you and I, we're all hunters. One of the things I love the most about coming into the fall is pheasant, season. And we make a terrific pheasant Coq au Vin. And it's one of those dishes, it takes a couple of days to make that. You just don't make it quickly. And that's one of the things I like best about it, because you can be at the hunting camp, and you can put this thing together, and you let it sit overnight, you let it baste. But the thing that you got to remember with pheasant is, especially if it's a wild pheasant, game pheasant, you've got to be very careful the way you cook this thing, because if you don't cook it right, one of my friends says you're gonna wind up with bubble gum. Basically,
right. So temperature's everything.
You cook it, because it can be very tough. One of the things we like to do is basically stew it. Let it sit in the sauce overnight, then keep it on the heat for a long time. And that's one of the. But you have to be very careful. You have to watch it very closely, otherwise you can ruin it. And you want to do it with some bold flavors. You don't want to do it traditional. Most of the Coq au Vin recipes will probably have like a Pinot Noir, a light wine. You want to go in there with some nice sherry, some good cognac, some grapes. Give it a lot of different rich flavors.
Maybe burgundy?
Savory flavors.
Maybe burgundy?
For those...
Sure. Well, I don't know if I would. Burgundy is more like a Pinot. I think, there's no doubt you want to have a good base with the wine, but I would add the sherry. I would add the cognac to it. You need something that's going to stand up to the bird.
Because
it's a much more flavorful taste. And it's a big taste. That's what's great about it. The tastes can explode if you just do it right. But you got to be very careful. You got to watch it and be assiduous about it, especially in the cooking phase.
So you could use a Dutch oven for this?
Oh, of course. Sure.
Yeah,
exactly what you want to use.
If you're not familiar with the French pronunciation, it's spelled Coq au Vin. And, Pauly, break this down for the layman. Is this a marinade? Is it a sauce? Is it just a recipe? Because when you say you let it set, what is that? Explain that to me.
Well, okay, Coq au Vin itself literally means, chicken and wine. That's what it means. And the preparation, you have to take your onions, the different things you're throwing, celery, a whole bunch of different stuff. But it starts, believe it or not, it starts as a sauté. It starts with, you take some salt pork or bacon or something like that, some mushrooms and some butter, a little bit of flour, and you put it into a pan, and you start the whole process by kind of sautéing it. You want to also prep your bird. You want to have some nice kosher salt on it, maybe some freshly ground black pepper, and you want to put it into a bag and shake it with a little bit of flour so you can coat it. And essentially, you're going to take a sauté pan, and you're going to cook the salt pork. You're going to cover it and cook it until you put a little water in, let it absorb the water, wait till the water's gone. And probably take you about 10 minutes. Keep things, wait till the bacon gets a little crispy. And then you remove the salt pork, put it on the side. In the same pan, use the remaining fat and the pearl onions and sprinkle some salt and pepper. And it's a little sauté there for about 10 minutes or so until it's slightly browned. Take the onions out, set it aside. Then you brown the pheasant, if you can brown it, just very gently on each side and working it in batches. Don't overcrowd the pan. Then take the pheasant and put it into a 7 or 8 quart enameled cast iron Dutch oven, something you probably have under your stove. And then you throw in all your mushrooms, you throw in the wine, the butter, and you leave it in there I would say 5 minutes, let it start to soak, have the wine come in, put the celery, the carrots, the garlic, the grapes, the thyme, the bay leaf, whatever you're going to put in. You can't put enough. I like to put a little chicken stock and tomato paste in it, not too much, a little bit.
So you like your sauce a little thicker based on what you're saying then, because you're talking tomato paste and flour.
Oh, yeah. Well, then you got to cover it, and you let it sit there. You should let it marinate overnight. Throw it in the refrigerator. Then you go out hunting the next day. You hunt all day. You go get your deer. You come back. And then you take out you take it out, you preheat the oven about 325, and then throw it in for 2 or 3 hours, and be very careful until the pheasant's tender. But stir it a little bit, maintain a very gentle simmer. Once it's done, you can put a little more stuff on it. You know, the way you present it is one thing. But if you like a thicker sauce, that's very easy. Just take a little bit of butter, a little bit of flour, and mix together and throw it in a little bit at a time. You can make it a little thicker. And I like to put it over an egg noodle or something like that, and it's delicious. It's probably one of the nicest things. And the best thing about it is it fills the house with an aroma that just says fall hunting season.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Michigan Talk Network, and we are talking with Big Paulie from New Jersey. He actually lives in Pennsylvania, but you also were telling me a little bit about a water skiing story. I got like 60 seconds. Give me a quick wrap on that story.
God.
It's hysterical.
We live on Lake Wallenpaupack, and we're out here, and there's a public dock, and there's these people from the big city, let's just put it that way, and they may have had a few adult beverages because they were very happy. And they have this guy is sitting on the edge of the dock with his water skis on, and he's holding the rope, and his buddy and a couple of girls are in this other boat, and he just yells out, and we're watching this. My kids and I, we're on the floor. We really can stay. He's yelling out all kinds of crazy things. The last thing I hear is he says, "Okay, are you ready, Freddy?" And the guy in the dock says, "Let it happen, Captain." And they take off, and the guy face plants right in the water. But that's not the funny part. He doesn't let go of the rope. He keeps on getting dragged about maybe 100 feet before he let go. He didn't know what to do. He's okay. He didn't drown. But those are the things you watch at Lake Wallenpaupack. It makes your life interesting when these people come up and they rent the boat, don't know what they're doing, they don't know what they're water skiing, and they make life very exciting, entertaining for all of us.
Yeah, well, that's good. All right, buddy. Listen, we'll be talking to you next week, and I wanna have another conversation with you. But that's Big Paulie from the president of the New Jersey Broadcasters Association. There, thanks, buddy.
Good to see you guys. Take care.
Okay. Yeah.
Coming up next, we got our friend Chris Marks from The Good One out there in Missouri, and he's going to break down a new outdoor oven concept that they've got going on out there. Really looking forward to that. And I'm going to give us a little fishing report on where to go and what to catch around the state. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Michigan Talk Network. We'll be back. It won't be too long.
The Grilling Guys on the Michigan Talk Network.